Well, it was a little delayed, but it was certainly worth it. Peter Frampton. He came alive in 1976. I don't know if you knew that or not. It's one of my favorite albums. Frampton Comes Alive. Shawnee, I was at the University of Florida, front row, 1980 for
Unbelievable.
Frampton. 35 years later, 2015, my son Tripp and I were front row on the Main State Pier, Peter Frampton.
Wow.
And I knew every word, of course, because I love this album and I love Frampton. But Tripp knew every word. At one point, I'm jumping up and down. You know, I'm like, that was 9 years ago. So I was mid-50s. I'm jumping up and down like I'm a little kid. And he's like, Dad, are you all right? And I'm like, man, I haven't felt this young. I was back in 1980 at University of Florida. It was wild. It was 80 or 81, one of the two. Anyhow, but yeah, wow.
Music is a great, it's just a great.
It is.
Unifier, right? I mean, when you play music, people don't think about all the other Absolutely. Noise in the world. It's good.
You're right. There's something about music. It changes your mood. It can bring you back to a place you were that you fondly remember.
That's right.
You know, it's just all kinds. I love it. And this album in particular, it's always been one of my favorites. I mean, we probably played it 1,000 times when they were growing up, you know, so they know every bit of it. Like Stevie Wonder and so much of his music, Earth, Wind, and Fire. They know every word to every song, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Let me tell you. Sunday morning, we're getting ready for church. Dad's downstairs, they're all upstairs, and I've got Earth, Wind, and Fire cranked as we're making breakfast or finishing breakfast or getting the dishes up. And rattling the house, probably rattled my neighbors, but you know.
I'm not a one-upper guy, Ray, but I will share the story. So Steve Murphy, who passed a couple years ago, he'd been with us over 35 years, just an incredible friend, co-worker. They were having a concert in Portland. And Ronnie Millsap and Tanya.
Oh, yeah,
I'm a country music guy. And
oh, yeah.
So Tanya Tucker was a lead. And so he's got these tickets. It was like a half a dozen of us went. We're at the Civic Center. Okay, it's a big place in Maine. He kind of like you. He was built like you, Ray. You know, he looked like a hockey player. You know, he's big, wide shoulders. So he runs down to the front. He's trying to convince us he's got front row seats. I'm like, there's no way. I'm not going to make a fool of myself and go all the way down there just to have him just, you know, it's like he's sitting up in the nosebleed. So I don't go down. I'm just saying, there's no way. There's no way he's got his front row tickets. Well, as it turned out, he had front row. So the most amazing part of that evening, Ronnie Millsap, whom most people know is blind, an extraordinary talent. They pull the curtain. And there's Ronnie Millsap standing there with his glasses and dressed up, looked great, all the lead up to it. Everyone's excited, you know, cheering this and that. He steps forward on the stage, you know, just towards the audience, kind of raises his arms like that. Well, he's getting closer to the stage, right, with every step. All of a sudden, you know, you could suck the, you know, everybody is like, oh my God, he's going to walk off the stage. We're in the front row. Right. I jump out of my seat. I took a step forward. And at that time, he stopped, not that he could see me or anything, but he stopped, and he smiled, and he said, do you really think I was going to walk off the stage? There were 6,000 people there, and I'm telling you, you could just, you know, that whoa.
Oh, like, yeah, of course.
Like, you know, like he was within like 3 feet of it, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Whoa.
That's crazy. What year was that?
I'll never forget that. It's about the same time, right? I'd say it was in the early 80s.
So Tanya Tucker, you mentioned she was
there. Oh, she was alive. Why? Holy smokes.
So I think that was the concert that she came to Maine for.
Yes.
Where she met her longtime boy toy.
No way.
She used to fly into Portland to hang out with her. And the person may be listening right now, because they sometimes do. You know you were her boy toy. You know you were. And you should be proud of that, because at the time... You know, she was a big deal. Ronnie Millsap, man, I love his music.
Oh, my God, his voice. I mean, I like country music because the words are saying the meaning. I know a lot of people saying it's yin-yang and the dog dies and people are drunk. But there is actual stories in the music.
Well, Ronnie's song, Stranger in My House.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a story. That song tells a story. Oh, I love Ronnie Millsap. There's no doubt about it. He's just great at what he does. And is he still with us?
I don't know.
Would you look and see if Ronnie Millsap's still with us? But I mean, song.
We went in to see Vince Gill, and it was when Reba McEntire's band, remember, was killed in that plane crash. It was a tragedy. So that was her first concert was in Portland with a new ensemble, and Vince Gill, believe it or not, was like the lead. His band got stuck in a snowstorm. So Vince Gill, picture this, sat on a stool at the Civic Center, no band, with just a guitar, and wow, he brought the house down.
What
just
year
a
was
man
that?
With a guitar. Well, about that same.
We were at that concert, I think.
So.
Wasn't that extraordinary? Just a
I
guy,
think we were
he
at
walked
that
out
con-
with his guitar.
Because we were at a concert with Vince Gill at
the
Civic
band's
Center.
Stuck in a snowstorm in Boston. This yeah. is
he's
all you
80,
got. Me.
He was born in 1943. He's 81 years old.
Wow. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, we were at a Vince Gill concert at the Civic Center. I bet that was it. And because I love Vince Gill, you know, he's with Pure Prairie League to start off with. And I found out recently that he's now singing with the Eagles. You know, Glenn Frey passed away.
No kidding.
So, you know, when you think about it, who could step in for Glenn Frey? But Vince Gill's got that voice. Yeah.
Ray, just changing the subject. What do you think is going to happen in a couple weeks? Where are we at?
Well, you know, you and I were talking about it during one of the breaks here this morning. I normally run 5 to 10 electoral maps all the time, and you know, move pieces around as things change. I think that I do have two maps where she could win. I don't think they're plausible. I think she's sinking. I've always said that she needed to be up 4 or 5 points nationally to have a shot to win electorally. But I do have one map showing her 270, 268, which would be a horrible outcome. Not because she. I mean, I think if she wins, it's a horrible outcome. But a close race like that is bad for the country. There's another one I have that is 272 to 266. But those are the only two maps I have for her. There's no way she has a blowout win. I have 5 maps with him winning. The 3 that I think are most plausible are 302, 311, and 332. I actually believe he's going to sweep Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan again. I believe he's going to sweep it. I'm a little worried about North Carolina because of the tragedy down there, and I don't see Governor Roy Cooper doing what is necessary, which would be a Herculean effort to make sure these people can vote. You know, they barely can live, but I don't know what they're doing to make sure they can vote. These people don't want to lose their votes, and that is real deep red country. So I'm a little worried about North Carolina, that Charlotte and those places could overwhelm the people out in western North Carolina who may not have access to be able to vote. And that's a big deal, aside from the regular tragedy of losing their homes and everything they have.
Right, right.
But they don't want to lose their voice, you know. And as you know, we've had people on this station from down there. And, you know, if they lost their house, they lost their car, some of them lost their animals. One guy was talking about he watched his cat float down the river on the roof of his house. You know, and then the cat's gone. They can't find the cat. The cat may be okay, but they can't find their cat. Maybe the cat will find their way home. They don't know. That would be a big lift for the family because they've lost everything else. But they don't want to lose their voice.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm a little worried about that. He's going to win Arizona. There's no doubt in my mind the border sealed that deal. I believe he will win Nevada because of the no tax on tips policy. Georgians have had it with this nonsense. I've known Georgia people. I've known them all my life. They are going definitely Trump. So I think he's going to win with probably somewhere in the ballpark of 332, maybe 311, but probably 332. That's what I think.
Well, Didi, you have mentioned the more they, you know, like Waltz gets out there and Kamala Harris gets out there. Because let's face it, most vice presidents are really innocuous, right? We don't really hear from them much. I mean, they
unless
send them on
Biden's.
Envoys.
Unless they're what?
Biden's.
Yeah.
So now that she's really emerged in the initial, you know, launch of you're looking at someone that's obviously failing, you know, mentally and physically next to her, and just to you know, the optics of that is going to create a surge. And they knew that, and that's why they waited so long. But I think they also knew, as you said, the more she gets out there.
Well, and the fact that who she picked for a VP, in my opinion, does not show that she has a good
understanding
of people and the ability to make a decision.
Yep. I think she might have had. Was it Kelly? I was kind of concerned because Kelly seemed like
Mark Kelly,
a hard charger, right?
Oh yeah.
I think she might have had a few. There said, "I'm not. No way. I'm not.
hitching to your horse. Somebody who actually knows how to speak.
Yeah, I think she, behind closed doors, Kelly might have just said, "I'm not hitching to your horse."
Yeah,
no
yeah.
way. Because you know, they know her, right? They go behind the scenes.
Absolutely. I do believe this. I think that they did this too early. I think they might have gotten away with Harris if they had waited maybe till late August instead of doing it in late July. But they did it 100 days out. There's no way they could hide her. And
but didn't they have to, Ray, because of the ballot access?
Well,
for her to be on some ballots in some states,
there was some legal wrangling over that. Okay. You know, you could have judge shopped it and gotten the right judge to say no, give her ballot access and that kind of stuff. You know how that works.
Yeah, well, I know Democrats are pretty crafty.
Yeah, they know the judges.
You mean like just anointing? I mean, that's basically what they did.
Yeah. So
now I'm thinking, they have to have the person on
the ballot,
they print the ballots.
Their biggest problem is Ohio, but it wasn't that big a problem because they're never going to win Ohio.
Okay.
Although the concern was is Sherrod Brown, who's running for re-election as the U.S. Senator there, that he might have been hurt if there wasn't a top Democrat on the ticket, somebody to people to rally around. But the biggest problem is I think they could have gotten away with this if this had happened in late August or even early September. If Joe had said, look, my health is so bad or whatever, but they did it too early. They couldn't hide her. The American people don't like her.
Yeah.
And when she speaks, she makes no sense. And boy, I'll tell you, we were watching it last night and she is one angry broad. And I know people get upset when I say broad, but I don't care because I've seen angry broads in my life and she is one of them. Man, I mean, she was like...
She wasn't joyful?
Oh, my God.
There was smiling, no joy. Joyful.
Well, and
there
did you
no
hear...
There was no happy. There was no peace.
Did you hear what Doug said? When Joe dropped out, she kept calling him. He was in spin class, and he actually told us what she said. She was yelling at him, where the beep are you? And, yeah, this is all a fake, phony, fraud thing, and people are seeing it. And I think she might have even gotten away with it if they had done it when they did it and she had chosen Josh Shapiro out of Pennsylvania. But she wouldn't choose him for two reasons. One reason is he's Jewish, and that would have made people in Michigan and Minnesota mad because they have heavy Muslim populations there. And two, he would have outshined her. They should, if they wanted a dogfight with Donald Trump, they should have chosen Josh Shapiro, the governor
of Kelly,
Pennsylvania.
Or Kelly, right? Yeah. Even Kelly.
Well, I mean, Josh is a magnificent speaker, and he's very clear about not that I agree with him, but from a Democratic standpoint, he really very knows what he's talking about.
Like J.D. Vance, right?
Yeah.
Trump chose J.D. Vance for all those reasons that you just said.
What a brilliant move J.D. Vance is.
Yeah, and I think that, and it's interesting you drawing this, you know, conclusion, right? Because the more you talk about it, the more I'm seeing what you're seeing is the longer this goes out, the more people that get to see J.D. Vance in action, to see how really calm and composed and educated and knowledgeable he is, the more they like him.
Right.
Walt's on the contrast, like Dee Dee said, the more they listen to this guy and jumping around, and he just, it's like, it looks like a buffoon. It's like, seriously, this guy's going to be on the ticket?
Well,
he's on the ticket.
The funniest joke last night, I thought, was Vice President Harris isn't here. Donald Trump told it, you know, because they make jokes. And he said, Tim Walz wasn't here either. But don't worry, he'll tell you he was.
Right.
And I just thought to myself, what a poignant, funny joke that was. Because, you know, they take barbs and what have you, and they give each other barbs. And I thought that was a very funny joke because it's true.
Yeah.
Tim just lies about everything.
Well, that's it's authenticity over disingenuity. And I think, Trump's got... Everybody can just, it's nonstop. But I do believe when you look, I think American people are going to look at the fact they've been in office, okay? You can't disconnect yourself from the take. You know, you were the administration, and now you're saying we're going to fix everything.
Exactly. She was talking
about that. How can you buy that?
Well, for so long, she was saying, I was in every big meeting. I was in this. I was in this. I was his right-hand man. I was there. And now she's saying, I didn't have anything to do with that. Sorry.
Yeah, this
but then Joe Biden said earlier this week there wasn't a music sheet of paper between him and her on policy. And she was asked recently, what would you do differently? And she said, nothing comes to mind. Now she's saying, well, I'm not Joe Biden. And, oh, by the way, I'm not Donald Trump. That's not an answer.
No.
But she can't answer anything.
No.
I have a thing here from 2019, you know, when she was a little younger. She keeps wanting to go after Trump. I mean,
that's all she can do.
Listen to
this. I remember her in the primary, you know, going after, you know, Biden, yeah. Right? Biden was no good. And
said he was a racist. Yeah, listen to this.
You've been saying that it's time for us to go back to paper ballots. Why?
Because Russia can't hack a piece of paper.
That's
there
right.
You go.
There you go. Senator Kamala Harris.
I mean, there she is. Russia can't hack a piece of paper. Ha 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 ha. That's not a joke statement. You know, at the time, this Russian collusion crap was going on. We all found out it was fake, phony, and fraud, and that's what it's always been, and now they're pushing it again. But this is the way she is. She's an unserious person. Everybody that I don't know her. Everybody that I know says she's unserious. She can't talk about complex issues. I watched her in committee hearing. I love watching committee hearings. They're very instructive. And I thought she was smart, but I've changed my mind. I think she is a buffoon.
When I have my measuring stick, when I look at individuals, when I deal with them indirectly or directly, and credibility is so important to me. People that say something, then they do it. And a lot of times they do it. They don't have to say it. You see their track record. They see what they've accomplished. You know, they've got that roster of achievement throughout their life, and they don't have to go out there and try to brag or... You know, and so I look at Kamala Harris's track record and her the influence in this administration. There's no credibility there.
No.
I just don't have. There's no credibility there for her to make statements like I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You've been in there for 3.5 years. You haven't done it. That's all I need to know.
The sad part is that she will not even acknowledge that she's been there.
Yeah.
I mean, right. It's all Trump's fault.
Right.
Barack Obama made that at the convention. He was the greatest magic maker ever. He makes David Copperfield look like a chump, created this illusion that she's not the incumbent vice president. But tell me what in the hell it is she's saying here.
Is agreeing to voter ID one of those compromises that you'd support?
I don't think that we should underestimate what that could mean. Because in some people's mind, that means, well, you're going to have to Xerox or photocopy.
Who the hell calls it a Xerox?
Your ID to send it in to prove you are who you are. Well, there are a whole lot of people, especially people who live in rural communities, who don't. There's no Kinko's. There's no Office Max near them. People have to understand that when we're talking about voter ID laws... Be clear about who you have in mind and what would be required of them to prove who they are. Of course, people have to prove who they are, but not in a way that makes it almost impossible for them to prove who they are.
What the hell does that mean?
Almost impossible.
But
she
won't give people what they need down in North Carolina because they can't have any ID.
Yeah, did you see that? A lady got turned away and was not allowed to get that $750 of largesse that they're giving out to Americans because she didn't have an ID. But
what
the hell does that mean? A photo ID, you show up to vote, you take out your license or your government-issued photo ID, and you show it. You don't have to go Xerox it. I mean, when was the last time somebody called making a copy Xerox? What is the matter with her?
Well, her staffers do all the work, right? Let's face it. Whatever she wants done, they run and do it for her. Maybe she screams. I don't know.
I mean, they make it out like to have a photo ID is the most complicated thing in American history.
Yeah.
Most Americans have it. You know why? If you want a bank account, you got to have a photo ID. You want to sign your children up for Little League, you got to have a photo ID. You want to buy a drink of liquor, you got to have a photo ID.
Yep.
You want to buy a pack of smokes, you got to have a photo ID. Most people have photo IDs. Those that don't, we can make an accommodation for. She acts like this is... You got to have $1 million to go vote. I think she's a buffoon. I do. And if we elect her, we deserve the pain and suffering we will endure because we've elected a pure idiot. I think she is very... Joe Biden was just a guy that I thought was corrupt and dishonest. But back in the day, I mean, I've played so many speeches of his on the Senate floor. He was coherent. when he called black men predators on the floor of the United States Senate in November of 1992, you could understand what he was saying and what he meant by it. When he said he didn't want his children to grow up in the jungle because of the predators, you knew what he was saying. And she nailed him on that and said he was a racist. And then she set racism aside to go run with him. But what the hell was that statement? What are we what are we asking people? What community are we impacting? You got to go down to the Xerox? I mean,
you know the irony, honestly.
Do I have my wallet here, Didi? I do. Here it is.
What the irony?
Here's my wallet. You know what's on my wallet where everybody can see it? It's right here. It's my main driver's license. It's in a clear thing. Yeah, just like you, Shawnee. There you go. I mean, this isn't hard.
Look at those mugs, Didi.
This isn't hard.
The mug shots.
And it's not hard for black folks either. You know what? Every black person I know has a photo ID. Every single one of them. You know why?
And it insults them. Just use that example to insult them.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting. If somebody like me were to say something like what they say, I would be a racist and I should be hung at the stake. She and Barack, who both aren't actually regular black folks. They're not regular black folks. She's an Indian from India and a Jamaican. She's not an African American. We all know Barack is half and half, and according to the state of Illinois, where he made his mark, his birth certificate would say he was white because his mama was white. So, but they're insulting black people. If I were to say what Barack Obama said to black men, they'd probably kick my backside.
I think the irony, Ray, this is the way I look at it. I get back to credibility and track record. If Trump just showed up, hadn't had an account, you know, hadn't had 4 years, and given the onslaught that he's had, it'd be hard-pressed to get elected. If Kamala Harris showed up without her track record of doing nothing for 3.5 years, she probably would get elected. But I think because they've both had proven track records and experience, people are going to look at Kamala Harris like, you had your chance. And they're going to look at Trump like, man, he's been there and done that.
And it's kind of hard to say, you know, like when she's saying he's going to do this if he's in that. He's going to do this.
I know.
Well, he had 4 years to do that, and he didn't.
That's right. Exactly, Didi.
So are you going to believe what happened? Our economy was better. Gas prices were better.
Right.
Food was better.
Interest rates.
Everything was better.
Peace.
And then they came in and
wrecked
by
it.
The stroke of a pen that he didn't even know what he was signing.
By his own words, gone. I played the audio of it. I don't know what I'm signing here, and he signs it anyhow.
It's the greatest folly in American history, and that's why I'm coming back to, I don't know, I'm going to predict, like you said, Ray, is it going to be close, whatever. I honestly think suburban women, I think, are going to shift this election. I think they shifted it last time because of abortion and women's rights. I think this time that song's been sung. Well, I think they're looking at the future of the children, the grandchildren. They run the households, and they're thinking, I don't like Trump. I'm not going to tell anybody, admit that I voted for him. I think they're going to vote for him.
I really do. And I think the black community is also that same boat.
I agree.
They're not going to say that they're going to do it because
that's right.
The wrath will
They won't even put a sign on their lawn. They don't want to, you know, it's that contentious.
But we were watching, I don't know what it was, we were watching the news, and Trump was supposed to be there, he was in a barber shop or something, and there was this huge conglomerate of black men outside wanting him to come out and talk to him.
I hope this is the greatest example of the silent majority in this election. The voice, like you said, Ray, the voice of the silent majority, that you're not going to stand down, you're not going to talk over and talk down. They're going to show up, we're going to vote, and let's hope, right, we get that ray of hope landslide.
Well, I just think people are tired of it. I mean, when Barack Obama scolded black men for not supporting the black woman,
that didn't go over well.
They are angry at him now. You know, they know he did nothing for the black community in 8 years. Look at, you know, when I would bring up Chicago and all the violence and murders going on there, they would tell me I was a racist, that I was trying to embarrass the president. You would have thought he would have used his bully pulpit, though, to do something to stop the violence and the murders and the rapes that were going on in Chicago. But he did nothing.
They profit from chaos and calamities.
Well, because they have no substance.
That's right, man.
So division is their calling card. We have got to run, Shawnee. Good to see you. Hey, Sean, this song goes out to you. Loving him and her.
her mind while she's lying here in my bed. There's a stranger in my...
We fix people by fixing their car. I like being part of that.
It's a great feeling knowing that you've done something that looks good and you know the customer is going to be happy with.
We're doing great. I love my job. I love what I do and all my coworkers.
All the women that work here are fantastic and they want to be part of something bigger.
My future looks great at Moody's. The sky's the limit here.
If you're looking for a job and a great opportunity and a career, we're hiring at Moody's.
Hi, folks. My name is Scott Ducharme, and I'm running for Maine State Senate District 34 for Kennebunkport, Wells, Berwick, and North Berwick. I believe Mainers need economic relief now, and I'm ready to deliver. As a chief engineer in the United States Merchant Marines, a small business owner, father, and grandfather, I care deeply about our state. I'd be honored to earn your vote for...
I've never heard before, and I can't find the love in her eyes anymore. There's some changes going on. I'm beginning to understand. When I'm holding her, I swear I feel the presence of another.
It is 8:05. You're listening to 100.5 FM. Looks like another glorious day the good Lord has given us in the great state of Maine. I hope it's equally glorious wherever you are. Dee Dee Richardson is here along with State Representative Barbara Bagshaw out of Windham. Good morning.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Dee Dee.
Nice to see you.
You too.
Boy, you're having the same vandalism that David Jones is having with the Vote Trump Now signs. You're having a lot of problem with people stealing your signs, defacing your signs, doing all kinds of crazy stuff with your signs. Yeah. What's going on?
I don't know. I mean, you drive around Windham, I have hundreds of signs on people's lawns, independents, Republicans, you know, Democrats. And I guess they're running my signs over, they're stealing my signs, they're defacing them. I mean, if you look around, there's like 10 or 12 Democrat signs on Democrat lawns, and then the rest of them are littering the public way. So I guess they are threatened, maybe? I don't know. I think the people, even if you steal their sign, I think they're still voting for me.
Yeah, their mom and dads didn't teach them anything worth learning. Mm-hmm. They have no self-respect, so they don't respect you.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. It's your private property. It's actually a crime to mess with somebody's signs.
It is, but nobody seems to do anything about it. You know what? I can get more signs. I'm just sick of the negativity. I mean, I've been running an upbeat, positive campaign, and outside people are coming in and try to bring negativity to a community like Windham. The people of Windham don't want this negativity. So if you're thinking of going negativity on my behalf, stop it. I don't want that. You know, I want to run an upbeat campaign on what I'm trying to do in Augusta and how I'm trying to fight for the people and their rights and the Constitution. I mean, attack me if you must, but just because you say something untrue doesn't make it true. It just makes you gullible to believe the lie that's being repeated.
I want to hang on just a second. President Trump is joining Fox and Friends. I want to grab him very quickly, and then we'll go right back to you, Barbara.
Sure.
And they said, sir, we don't use teleprompter. Then I get up there and see the comedian. And he was good, too, by the way.
Jim Gaffigan's funny.
I thought he was good. Yeah.
You know, Kamala Harris did not show up, as you know. She sent a video from Saturday Night Live. We have seen historically a lot of Democrats, they turn to the guys at Saturday Night Live or the Tonight Show. They write all their material. Your material was real funny. Who wrote it? Who helped you with it?
Well, I've had a lot of people helping. A couple of people from Fox, actually. I shouldn't say that, but they wrote some jokes. And for the most part, I didn't like any of them. But
did you receive some highlights? I think you did great.
Go ahead.
Watch. Roll tape.
Catholic Church helping the poor, educating children, and supporting the vulnerable. But if you really wanted Vice President Harris to accept your invitation, I guess you should have told her the funds were going to bail out the looters and rioters in Minneapolis, and she would have been here guaranteed. She would have been here. Guaranteed. It's a true pleasure to be with you this evening. Amazing pleasure. And these days, it's really a pleasure anywhere in New York without a subpoena for my appearance. Anytime I don't get a subpoena, I'm very happy. But unfortunately, Governor Walz isn't here himself, but don't worry, he'll say that he was. He's going to say he was. But I have to be careful, however, to understand that this will be the first time in the history of this event where jokes will be fact-checked, and they will be. All polls are indicating I'm leading big with the Catholic vote, as I should be, as I should be. But I don't think Kamala has given up yet. She hasn't. Instead of attending tonight, she's in Michigan receiving communion from Gretchen Whitmer.
Mr. President, you had a balance because you got to tell these jokes, but you're sitting next to people that don't like you at all.
Chuck Schumer's
right there.
So how
was that?
You know, I know him very well. I guess he doesn't like, but he likes me enough. It's a little bit, it's hard to explain. You know, I gave him his first check when he was young. I was young. It was his first check. I don't know, is that good or bad? But it was the first check that he ever got. He was running for, I think, assembly up in New York. And he got it from me, so.
So we should blame you for the rise of Chuck Schumer. Right. It's all on you.
Blame me for
defeating Al Kamada. It was New York.
What did Mayor Adams say to you? Because you were, I mean, he's a Democrat, you're a Republican, but you can relate because of these subpoenas. Yeah. Letitia James, she was in the back row.
The weaponization. No, it's, look, I've been investigated more than Alphonse Capone, I say it. But Adams, he came out against the immigrants, you know, against the mm-hmm. destruction of New York, frankly. He did the right thing. I said, he will be indicted within 6 months. And he was. They indicted him. Now, I don't know if it's legit. I haven't looked at it. But it seems very suspicious when he comes out against something they're doing. They're destroying the country. They are destroying our country. He was right. I go down the streets of New York. I went down the streets of New York 2 days ago. And I'm looking at migrants all over Madison Avenue, all over Fifth Avenue. I've never seen anything like it. I'll tell you, this is New York. You see empty stores. You never saw empty stores on Madison Avenue. You never see them. It's a shame. He did the right thing, but he got indicted. And they play weaponization. These are.
It is 8:11. Corey Lewandowski is going to join us at 8:30. We'll talk with him about this. But I just wanted you to, and I wanted to hear for myself, President Trump. He's sitting on the couch with Fox and Friends this morning with Lawrence Jones, Steve Ducey. I think Brian Kilmeade is there. And is that Ainsley Earhart? So anyhow, the crowd is there. Lawrence Jones, with no offense to Brian Kilmeade, who I think we're going to start carrying here on a more regular basis very soon. Lawrence Jones is my absolute favorite. When the tragedy happened last year in Lewiston, Lawrence came up here, and I believe it was Mr. Walker who lost his son, who was a town councilor. The interview that he did with him, I heard from so many people, was a very healing experience for people dealing with this. And I had the chance to see Lawrence in Milwaukee and spent a few moments with him, four or five minutes, and just said to him, you know, what you did, the way you handled it. I heard from, we played it live here because I happened to see that it was on. And I heard from so many people that Lawrence's, the way he addressed Mr. Walker was just extraordinary. And I happen to agree with that. State Representative Barbara Bagshaw is in the House. We are going to talk about her campaign. But I did want to catch a little bit of that very quickly. Barbara, good morning again.
Good morning, Ray.
So you're already getting feedback here. Tracy says, Barbara, you got this. We're behind you. We love you. So you got people already texting in on the McVitie's Hearth and Home text line supporting you. So talk about, you spent 2 years in Augusta. You're looking for another term now. I would say it was the worst 2 years in Augusta in all of Maine legislative history. And I've said that repeatedly with the things they did to harm Maine people, from the innocent unborn to children seeking to transition their gender to raising taxes, the biggest tax increase in all of Maine history, dollar-wise, to the greatest spending drunk we've ever seen. Yeah. It was not good for Maine people. And the evidence is Maine schools are worse off. Maine roads and bridges are worse off. Maine's economy is number, 47 in the country. Why do you want to go back to that?
Well, I feel called to this, Ray. You know, people are like, do you like it in Augusta? I'm like, well, like is a strong word. What I like is I love the constituent work. I love serving my community. I love helping solve problems. And I have heard the same thing, that this was the worst session they've had. You know, I have no comparison to how Augusta operates, but I am shocked how they disregard the will of the people. You know, the government, we've talked about this, government was here to protect, put here to protect our rights, not to dominate us, and the government receives its power from the consent of the governed.
Right.
And they don't have that up there. Just you look at LD 1619, when that thousands of people showed up for like 24 hours of testimony.
And 625 actually spoke.
Yeah, and people were leaving after midnight and, you know, into the morning, you know, and they, you know, they let the people for it go first with 3 minutes, then it went down to 2 minutes to testify. So these people, then it went down to 1 minute. So they're sitting there for 24 hours to say this is too far. And the majority party, which happens to be Democrats, said, oh, we don't care. We're going to do what we want. So we're going to send you out. You know, they didn't have the votes. We're going to send you out for a 2-hour, 9-hour lunch and come back and slam it through by one. That's their MO.
I don't think they should be called the Democratic Party anymore, mm-hmm. because the Democratic Party is a noble political party. Yeah. With hardworking people who love God and love family and love community, and they get up and they're the fabric of the country. This should be called the Tyranny Party in Augusta.
We've talked about before. Both of my parents were Kennedy Democrats. I talking to my mother on Mother's Day. I thought my mother and I butt heads like nobody's business, and then we're talking to each other, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, we believe essentially the same thing politically.
Right, sure.
She's moderate, and, you know, I'm extremely fiscally conservative, and some people say I'm socially moderate, you know, but I have respect for people on the other side of the aisle in Augusta. I try to play nice in the sandbox. One of my friends on my committee is a radical progressive Marxist, you know, and we get along just fine. We you know, she'll help me with things on my, you know, even if we're voting different, maybe 45% of the time we vote together. But, you know, if she's opposed to something, she's happy to help me. And if she's looking like she's going to break her pen when she's testifying, I'll slide her stress ball and take the pen out of her hand. And, you know, when I'm like, when is lunch at 3 o'clock, and she'll slide me a piece of chocolate to keep the hanger off.
Well, that's the way it used to be. You know, we used to argue, fuss and fight over big, important issues.
Yeah.
But we still broke bread at night and maybe had an adult beverage together. And a lot of that has gone away. And so it makes it hard to work on the things that you do agree on.
And they're playing games in Augusta. And this isn't a game. These are people's lives. We're rolling the dice and playing a game with their lives. You know, I'm there to fight for your rights. Even if you can't see that, even if you can't like me or vote for me, I am fighting for the rights that you're giving away. And we are on the edge of a cliff. We're already going over. If we don't turn the ship around, the ship is going down. And I don't care if you're independent, Democrat, Republican, I'll work with you and I'll serve you. And I have helped Democrats in my community, and I've helped independents, and I've helped Republicans. And I don't see them as inferior or superior to me. I see them as my constituents.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's supposed to be a representative republic, a representative government. They like to talk about democracy. All the hell democracy is four lions and one lamb deciding what's for lunch.
Yeah.
Or as my favorite one is, one black man with a rope around his neck and 20 white Southerners looking for a branch. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's democracy. You're supposed to be there to be the voice of the people that you represent. You have, what, about 8,500 constituents?
Yeah, I should know. I don't know, but yeah.
Well, it's got to be something probably close to that.
Yeah, and I've been to all the doors. I'm going back to the ones that I didn't see face-to-face. You know, I'm reapplying for the job. I don't want this job for a title or some power or the amount of money that I brought home as a single person trying to live off below the poverty level and working 60 hours a week. I want to serve the community. I want to serve the community.
Yeah, it's probably a little, you know, if we have 1.4 million, we have 151 House seats, so it's probably somewhere in the ballpark of 8,000. You have 8,000 people to represent, whether they're Republican, Democrat, unenrolled, or don't give a damn. Some people don't register. Some people aren't involved. You still are supposed to represent them.
Yeah.
You and I have talked a lot over the years. You were here a lot when you were running the first time, and you've been on this show a lot as an elected person. Your approach to this is very different than so many of the others. I know you listen. I have people say to me, they've run into you, and you'll stand there and talk to them Others will brush you off. I mean, I feel like the representatives in my hometown of Westbrook could care less what I think. You know, they operate in a culture and in a vortex almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they are the anathema politically of everything that I believe.
Yeah.
And here's what's been proven out in Westbrook.
Yeah.
Our roads and our community are in shambles. Our school system is falling behind the rest of the state, which is falling behind the rest of the country. Our business climate is a little better. It's friendly, but it's only because of Dan Stevenson. Dan Stevenson's a great economic development guy. He gets it. If he wasn't there, we'd be back where we were before him, where Westbrook was gaining the reputation of being very difficult to deal with. Dan changed all that, but it's one man. And when Dan decides to retire or whatever, you know, that's all going to change again. And my only point here is that these people don't recognize this isn't their government. This is our government.
Exactly. Yep. It's true. And, you know, I am honored to be in that seat, and I am honored to serve the people. And, you know, I work for them, and Augusta doesn't realize they work for us. And the same thing in Washington. You know, the government is the vehicle, and the people are supposed to be driving the bus, and
right.
We're not. That we've given away our power, you know. And just like coming up in Windham, there's a question: do you want to let the town councilors, decide who's going to be the town clerk? Do you want it to be appointed? They wrote it in a way. I am very happy with our clerk, but I feel very strongly that our clerk should be from our town, and it should be an elected position. And if somebody that they have in mind wants to be the clerk, they should move to Windham, because I feel very strongly that it needs to be a stakeholder.
Wait, slow down. The town clerk doesn't have to live in Windham?
Well, they're trying to make it an appointed position, which I disagree with. I don't.
So if they make it an appointed position, there will not be a requirement that the town clerk live in the town?
Nope, and you won't
have
to
vote. Why in the world would anyone in Windham think that that's a good idea?
Well, because the
language. The town clerk needs to be in the town. How in the world can the town clerk, who controls the voter rolls, have a
exactly.
real feel for everything if they don't live in the town and know the people?
Yeah, so they
what kind of cockamamie crap is going on in Windham?
I don't know, but the way they wrote it, a lot of people are reaching out to me confused about the language. You know, this, if you let the town council, who I've seen not care much about what the constituents say when they go to
that was
meet,
evident that in the school board in Windham, they don't give a damn what the constituents
and
think.
They, it seems like, you know, people in these positions.
We saw that during COVID.
Oh, yeah. But it seems like these people in these positions are like, I am large and in charge, and I'm in this position, and you should kiss the ring because you're subservient. You know what? We should be voting for people who understand that they work for us.
Absolutely.
And the will of the people. And enough with the people that don't care. And so I already voted. I'm a hard no on the clerk position becoming appointed
absolutely.
By a
you
group
be.
Of people.
But it's the same thing in my hometown. I mean, the school board provably and unquestionably lied to the people of Westbrook. Mm-hmm. They passed a school budget. They sent it out for referendum. When they sent it out, they said, we have cut every single thing we can. Mm-hmm. We have to have this money to operate the schools. It was a big tax increase for the people. The people defeated it, so they went back and cut $719,000 out of the school budget and then resubmitted it to the people, and it barely passed. Mm-hmm. The point is, if they could cut $719,000 the second go-around, they could have done it the first go-around. They lied to the public, and what we need are people who understand you're a servant.
Exactly.
You're an actual servant.
Yes, yes. And it's like, you know, I was very satisfied with my public education. Maine used to be first, second, third in the nation.
1992, we were number one in science and math.
Yeah, and last year, what was it? We were 30.
Well, according to U.S. News and World Report, which uses the same criteria across the country, Maine has fallen to 50th and dead last in education in 2023.
That's unacceptable. I am on Education and Cultural Affairs. I fund... You know,
so you sat there when Pender Macon came before the committee.
I asked her.
What did you ask her?
I asked her, do you not think our test scores are in the dumper? And she basically, well, depends on what kind of test scores you mean. And then she kind of said social emotional learning were gangbusters. That's not a quote. I mean, I was an art teacher. I understand art, music, sports. It's all social emotional learning. Very important. However, her next comment was disturbing, that unfortunately, academics will have to take a backseat. And I sat through all kinds of nonsense, listening to all kinds of nonsense, watching our test scores slip even further. We are doing a disservice to our children. Okay, this isn't a social experiment that some people tell me at the door. That's all school is a social experiment now. No, we are doing a disservice to our children by not educating them in the basics. And that's why I cast my vote for Virginia Woodman for school board, because she wants to go back to basics. She wants kids to focus on ABCs. And what has happened? Where has this focus come from?
Well, here's the bottom line. Maine had the lowest reading comprehension for sixth graders in 2022.
Unacceptable.
The lowest in recorded Maine history, and we had fallen behind other states. We were 9 points below the national average. Yeah. And people would call in here and say, oh, you're just dumping on the schools. What about COVID, Ray? Well, did we think the other 49 states didn't deal with COVID?
Yeah.
I mean, other states had tyrannical governors like we did. Yeah. Gretchen Whitmer shut down Michigan. Gavin Newsom shut down California. Kathy Hochul and Andrew Cuomo shut down New York. Yeah. They dealt with all of this. Yeah. We were 9 points below the national average on reading comprehension for sixth graders. Yeah. And when I say stuff like this on the air, which is statistically factual, it can be backed up, they say I'm anti-education. Yeah. No, I want you to pursue excellence. I'm tired of your ideology. Yeah. We don't want you there for your ideology. Yeah. Kids should know that 2 + 2 is always going to equal 4.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what language you do it in. Yeah. It doesn't matter what time zone you do it in.
What color
your skin is. It doesn't matter where the hell you live.
Yeah. It's insane. You know, I had two school choice budget bills in last session, which the majority party said, nope. You can't have school choice. That's going to take money away from public schools. I had a bill to simply lift the cap on virtual schools past 1,000. Nope. Can't have that. Can't have choice taken away from the public schools. Do you know what, Ray?
That's not what that's about. It's about empowering the teachers union, which is their political ally. Well, they're liars.
Yeah. Well, I went to a school choice summit in Utah, and it's factual. It's studies have shown that public schools, when there is choice, public schools automatically improve because there's competition.
There's competition.
Yeah. And tax dollars go down because some of these schools don't need a building. They don't need all this upkeep and whatever. I mean, I am all for funding public schools, but we have to shift our focus back to academics.
We do.
We're doing a disservice to the children.
Why is someone always trying to build a better mousetrap? Because there is competition, and if they don't build a better mousetrap, nobody will buy the one they have.
Yeah.
That's why there's always competition to build a better mousetrap. Yeah. It's what made America great. Yeah. Somebody's always trying to do something better than the other guy is doing it. The public school system in the state of Maine is nothing but part of the political arm of the Democratic Party, and that's why they do what they do. Pender Macon, who taught at Westbrook, was a decent teacher back in the day,
and in Windham,
but a horrible commissioner. She should resign in disgrace for what she's allowed to happen to the school system. But Janet gives her a reward because they're not about what's best for our people.
Yeah.
They're about what's best for political power, which is all they care about. Yeah. And the evidence is overwhelming. And I don't care who wants to challenge me. If God sat here, I would provide God with the statistics from the state government. They have wrecked the public school system in the state of Maine over rigid ideology so they can have more power. The evidence is overwhelming. What will the people do about it, Barbara?
I hope they vote to change the majority and minority in Augusta, because a lot of these insane things, including trying to lower electricity bills, it's the Democrat Party in Augusta. Like I said, these are different animals than my parents and my constituents that are Kennedy
right.
Democrats. These people are burning our state down. We got to change them.
Jeff Timberlake sat right next to where you're sitting here yesterday, and he talked about the fact we're the fourth highest cost in electricity in the country.
Yeah.
Our economy is 47th in the country. That means our people are struggling. They're not prospering like other states. So the electricity bill being the fourth highest cost in the country is even harder for our people to pay.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter who I meet at the door, the Republicans, the Democrats, the independents, they do not like this. They do not like our skyrocketing electricity bills. They don't like our wide open border. Like I said, I've been a relief worker in 21 of the 24 countries that I've been to help where you can. However, not at the expense of burning down our state, yep. not at the expense of new Mainers living off the backs of old Mainers. People are struggling. Mainers, this is taxation without representation. If the governor wants to bring in 75,000 more undocumented workers and their families into this housing crisis, that should be something that the people vote on.
We don't have enough housing right now. Yeah. That's a problem here. Yeah. They make it so damn hard to build housing here with their over-regulation.
Over-regulation.
So we have a huge problem here with shorting of housing, which is driving up rental cost and the cost to buy homes, along with the high interest rates and the high inflation. And what does she want to do? Does she want to say, hey, let's loosen some of these rules and regulations that really are overly burdensome so we can put more concrete in the ground?
No, her
answer to the housing crisis is to bring more people into the state.
I had a concern.
It's a bizarre. It's almost like it's.
We
got to go.
Okay.
What's your website?
You could go to my Facebook page, Representative Barbara Bagshaw. That's where I have the most updates. I have Barbara in the House, but I don't really update my page. My website.
So, Representative Barbara Bagshaw on Facebook.
That's
the best place to find out more.
Yep.
Barbara, great to see you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray.
ABC Maine, member-driven and member-strong. You build communities and shape our industry. We make sure your voice is heard. For more information, email hope@abcmaine.org or go to their website, abcmaine.org. At Community Pharmacy, you can schedule your fall vaccine clinics now. Flu, COVID, or any other vaccines you need. Call Community Pharmacy at 621-0698. That's the main office, 621-0698.
My name is Kenny Chinkett. You may know me as the founder of Eric's Church Bar and Grill and Window, but this advertisement is to support my candidacy for Maine State Senate. Being a lifelong Mainer, I know we can get taxes and the cost of living back down while we grow wages. So if you live in Westbrook, Windham, Raymond, Casco, or Fry Island, then I humbly ask for your vote this election to represent you in Augusta, because Maine deserves better. Paid for and authorized by Kenny for Senate.
This is Vern Dukes, and you know me as a trucker of truth. Let me lay this truth on you. New Gloucester's new restaurant, Cafe 1055, located at 1055 Lewiston Road in New Gloucester, is open for breakfast and lunch, starting at 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tuesday through Friday, and 7 to 2 on Saturday and Sundays. Breakfast all day on the weekends. Our baked goods are made from scratch daily, and we have the best damn eggs Benedict in Maine. Go to our website, cafe1055.com, to find our daily specials. Each morning, we make our scones from scratch, and they are ready when you walk in the door. Our biscuits and gravy make even our southern customers' ears wiggle. Barbecue is on our menu every week. You just have to check our daily specials on the website to see when. Cafe 1055 is proud to be a partner of New Gloucester, and we look forward to meeting each and every one of you. Go to cafe1055.com to find out more. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram.
And NATO remains strong and more united than ever.
South Korea's spy agency says North Korean troops have joined the war on Russia's side. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the death of Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar during a military operation in Gaza does not mean the end of the war to end Hamas.